Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I have planted trees when I arrived here in 2019, and I have my first big fruit from these trees. Of course, across the years, I've been having raspberries, blackberries, black currants, but this is my first big fruit produced by my fruit trees, a peach. Isn't it beautiful? Looks good. This tree has produced about 5 or 6 peaches, but many of them got taken by animals. It's the first year where something comes out from this tree. It's been growing. I planted these trees. They were at the height of my knees, and they're now higher than me. Let's taste that peach. This is very good. I don't like peaches because of the hairy contour. Very juicy. I don't like peaches. I wouldn't buy them, but I would eat this every day, no problem, when it comes from my own land. Well. Interesting that sugar energy is produced on my location, consumed on my location. All of these leftists who are alarmed at climate change, they don't do half of the work I've been doing to reduce my carbon footprint. Here's a bunch of energy that came straight from the sun, shining onto my land. No transportation, no gas, no trucker. And it's delicious. It's really delicious. Barnaby Brito says, JF Garden ASMR. Yes, Rodilacid says, oh, very nice, JF. If you have some established fruit trees, you should look into splicing other fruit branches for other fruits. You could have an apple tree with a few branches producing pears or prunes. Yeah, this is so unnatural to me. It's like, I'm not touching this. I've seen the, how did they call it? The pomato? A half plant of potatoes connected to a plant of tomatoes so that you get the roots producing potatoes, you get the leaves producing tomatoes. It's just too unnatural to me. I'm still interested in nature. I'm still interested in life as it stands. I'm not a fucking Frankenstein developer of monstrosity. I just want to live. I just want these beautiful fruits, be able to collect them, eat them every year. That's it. I just want to limit my interaction with society and develop my ability to survive on my own. Macrochimerism, says Nuke from Persia. Absolutely. Grifting, these grift techniques in gardening, that is really creating a chimera. Bill de Blasio is going insane or what? He's published a video of him covering a pizza with coconut, sweetened coconut. He says, I eat pizza. I am hungry. I will eat pizza today. What the fuck is wrong with this guy? Anyone knows what's been happening to Bill de Blasio? What is this? What is this a reference to? Is this Pizzagate 2.0? Ty Rogerson says, JF, the permacultist, I'm just trying to avoid people. That's pretty much it. I'm really not fascinated by plants a priori. I love living things, but I mostly love animals. And so it's like I'm not fascinated by deep knowledge. I just want enough knowledge to produce enough food just to survive, with perhaps talking to one less cashier of one less grocery store every month. That's all I ask for my life. Shamrock Shake says, the peaches at the grocery store near me were freakishly large and like dry mush. Yeah, the thing is, there's always a technique where you can inflate the fruits. I've seen it here. The six peaches that were on the tree, I waited for a day of rain, and it's like they explode, basically. And I lost a lot of these six peaches have gone bad because they exploded under too much rain. And so it would have been wise of me to cultivate them before, but I didn't know now. Now, since this is my first year with fruits, I will know next time. A federal court, according to libs of TikTok, has ruled that an Ohio school forcing teacher Vivian Gerardi to use transgender students' preferred pronouns was compelled speech. That is very interesting, because that's a problem in Canada that Jordan Peterson has attracted a lot of attention for. But it's always been my impression that in the US it's going to be complicated. There's already First Amendment arguments made for government employees, and so it exists. There is a First Amendment right to people who are employed by the government. Sometimes it precedes their beliefs, sometimes it forces the person to withdraw and let another government employee handle the case. So there's already something like a First Amendment right for government employees, and so you would think that it applies to public school teachers. And here they can now, if this decision becomes precedent, as it should be, because it's a federal appeals court. Is it an appeals? A federal court. Okay, so maybe it will become precedential if it can rise to something like the Supreme Court. Landolt Guntram says, exploding peaches sounds like a case for special services. Exploding peaches, that would be the name of your mission. Exploding peaches. Georgia Shooter, Colt Gray. So I might do at some point a psychological profile of this guy. I've decided not for now. It seems to be a guy who was into some degree of perhaps transition of sex. Had been looking like a girl increasingly. So has bought into a leftist meme. People also say that he was maybe not beaten by his father, but they say abused, but verbally. So I don't know what that means. You know, sometimes people can hear a scream and it's not necessarily abuse. It may be a punishment. It may be that the child must stop screaming, so you scream harder to shut him down. So I don't know to what extent we can trust this interpretation. But in any case, so we have this guy, and he was frustrated at the lack of acceptance at first, at his rejection for being gay, and then eventually at his rejection for being trans. So he was targeting basically what he perceived to be anti-trans oppressors, and has ended up killing two adults and two children, I believe, before being captured. He was not killed. He was captured. And they have arrested both him and his father. That is, uh, that is something that I'm very annoyed about. They are starting to more and more make the parents responsible. And it's like, what do we expect from parents of psychopathic individuals? That peach is wonderful, really good. What do we expect of parents of a psychopathic individual who they think he might commit crimes at some point, but they try to encourage the positive side of him, and they're like, okay, maybe my child is going to be a school shooter, but here, I'm going to try to train him to fire arms in a way that he will... Perhaps, you know, you can train someone to fire arms in a way that teaches them safety and that teaches them the gravity of the use of firearms, perhaps with the hope that they won't commit a shooting. So when the state comes and accuses the father of murder for merely providing a gun that was accessible to the child and for raising his child in a gun culture, that's very dangerous, because we are basically saying not only you, the father, are you an agent of the state in the house. You need to betray your loved one for the service of the state. Not only this, but we're saying as an agent of the state, we also expect you to see the future. We also expect you to predict and see it coming when your child is going to become a school shooter. And I can't help but see a parallel between this responsibilization of the father here and the responsibilization that people do of me with Mama JF. It's like Mama JF was a crazy girl who just decided to go out there and take risks. And whatever happened to her, no idea. She's out there, she disappeared. Now, people put it on me. It's like, they've not accepted the fact that people are free. There are some people who are free. Like this person was free to change their sex at 14 years old. So they had some degree of freedom that you would grant them. Mama JF was free, she was an adult woman. But they always look for who's the closer male and is the truly guilty person. Now, they released this video that has reemerged of the school shooter when he was younger learning about guns with his father. But I see nothing grave in this video.
2023, the first ever deer hunt for me and Colt. He's hunting with a 450 Bushmaster.
Sir.
107 yards.
And now there's this weird interaction. He calls his father sir. Is that a thing in English? That is very like militaristic hillbilly culture. I don't know, is that common? It's kind of weird. And he's speaking with a, you know, countryside accent.
And let's go take a look. I'll follow you, sir.
Now, it can be emotionally shocking for a young child or even a teenager or even an adult to take the life of a deer. My father was hunting for years before he saw his first moose. And he told me the moose was right in front of me. And he bowed his arc as he had practiced for years, preparing for that moment. And then he said he looked at the moose in the eye and he saw a kind of living being. He saw that there was life there and that there was no need for him to kill it. And he let the moose go. That's after like 10 years perhaps of hanging out in the forest waiting for that moment. So yeah, sometimes you can have a kind of discomfort, and I think that the child here is in discomfort with the fact that he killed the deer.
I see white. Holy crap. Look at that, brother. Go ahead and lay your rifle down on it like we have. Other way, barrel up.
Barrel up?
Yep, so you get mud in the barrel. Okay, it's okay. Lay that gun down like we had it for the picture. All right, remember, it's still loaded. Okay, beautiful.
So he had a very good shot. I mean, this is exactly where you will learn you need to shoot. It's where the heart is for a deer. So a great shooter here. And he had an advanced weapon there.
All right.
Advanced in the sense that there's a rifle, a scope to it.
Lean down there and hold that head up. Let me see what you busted this morning. January 8th on your first ever deer hunt. Big old giant three-pointer. Amazing. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, so I see nothing in this video. That's just a caring father with, of course, hillbilly attitudes and accent and interaction. But I don't see here an abusive father, nor do I see a reason for this guy becoming a shooter. And you have to have a space for letting people being trained to firearms. Or is it the case that now any sort of training to firearms is a preparation for school shooting and you get judged guilty for just providing it? Makes no sense to me. Anna Kasparian calls out Hassan Piker. So Anna is starting, of course, she's been on a roll in the last few years. She's just a little uncomfortable with some left-wing stuff, and she's kind of becoming a centrist with a big heart, a centrist with a leftist heart. But she is the one who's often at the border of saying, hey guys, we have to stop leftist in general, we have to stop doing this. And here she's mentioning that she's alarmed at how the Democrats have kept silent on the issue of Venezuelan gangs taking over some city in Colorado, well, some apartment complex, and they were terrorizing the locals. I don't even know where the situation is at, but it's quite amazing to see her in front of Cenk attacking Hassan.
Leftist extremists, you're not supposed to do the same thing. So here, Octosquiddies, a member on Twitch, asks a good question. Cenk and Anna, please tell us who the left is that you keep referring to and never defining. I'd really like to know as a self-ascribed leftist. No problem, because that we do that sometimes on the show. You don't know what we're referring to.
By the way, what the fuck is this delivery, Cenk? This is not professional delivery. You're not articulating your words. Am I the only one here very annoyed? And it's impossible to follow. You're rolling your tongue. What the fuck? You're a professional broadcaster of news. I was something like a teenager first time I saw Cenk Uygur deliver the news. Let's listen to it again. Listen to his slur.
Leftist extremists, you're not supposed to do the same thing. So here, Octosquiddies, a member on Twitch, has a good...
Octosquiddies? Give us the syllables, Cenk. I have no idea what you just said.
Good question. Cenk and Anna, please tell us who the left is that you keep referring
to. Please tell us who the left is.
Referring to and never defining. I'd really like to know as a...
I'd really, really like to know. See how you roll the... I'd really like to know. I mean, it's... I'd really like to know. I'd really like to know.
Self-ascribed leftist. No problem, because that we do that sometimes on the show. You don't know what we're referring
to. We do a little bit of that.
Do we mean the whole left wing? Absolutely not. Okay, the majority of the left wing is perfectly reasonable on this.
Are they?
You Anna. And now Hannah is coming in.
I have a disagreement here, Cenk.
Oh man, Anna. Isn't it so sad to have beauty be wasted in the way that Anna wasted it? Staying childless all of her life. She's just beautiful, just to produce a good feeling in the eyes of the leftists watching her. That's the only function of her beauty. She has never dedicated her beauty to charm a man that would inseminate her. Absolutely erroneous.
Yeah, we have a massive disagreement. You give those tiny little leftist streamers way too much.
They're not tiny little leftist streamers.
Okay, so here Chang says, well, the leftists who are kind of pro-Venezuelan gangs are a minority and they're tiny streamers.
Cenk Hassan called the city council member racist.
And oops, Hassan is not a tiny streamer. Hassan is a big streamer of the left, one of the biggest names in leftist live streaming. And so Cenk is in trouble here.
We're helping this woman move out of that. But that's not a small streamer. That's a huge streamer. That's not a small person.
Okay. I mean,
do you know what I'm saying?
I mean, what are we going to get into this now? We're going to be like Trump with crowd sizes?
No, but
Cenk, you brought it up. Cenk has brought up saying they are tiny streamers. Anna is countering. They're not tiny streamers. Like Hassan is not tiny, and he's not.
Hold on, Anna.
The Democrats come out and push back against that narrative, Cenk. Just the mainstream Democratic Party, do they come forward and push back against that narrative? Because you have the Democratic governor denying all of this. So I don't know who on the left wants to do something about it.
Well, Anna, you will always be disappointed by the left because the left is ultimately fine. The left is ultimately a Venezuelan gang of sort. And when they see this, they see a world that they desire, a world in which people can be locally intimidated, locally controlled by the community. And so the Democrats are totally fine with what's happening in Colorado. They will display some degree of offense because they have to, and they don't want to get voted out, but it's typical anarcho-tyranny, the same kind that led to the Chaz in Oregon. Ty Rogerson says structural elements are only strong in the direction they're meant to be oriented. Suddenly, Anna kicks Cenk in the back of the knees, lol. Absolutely, absolutely. The US is backing off. No long-range strikes deep inside Russia with U.S. missiles provided to Ukraine. That's one step down on the escalation ladder and good news for humanity. See, this is where I had said Putin shouldn't respond super strong. Shouldn't go for the U.S. or for U.S. ships. Iran should respond super strong to the strikes inside of their country or the strikes toward their leaders in Syria. And the reason is those were provocation attacks. And if the US and Israel and Ukraine are committing provocation attacks, it means they're just looking for an excuse, that they just want you to respond a little bit so they can escalate further. And you can totally neutralize this strategy by accepting, okay, you blew up my base. Now what? I'm still a giant country. I'm still winning the war in Ukraine. So sometimes just being chiller, being more chill, is the solution to an environment that is filled with psyops. And that's what I'm talking about when I say further reflection on things tonight. I'm really shocked by this whole Lauren Chan story. Yesterday, I went on Richard Spencer's show. I think the show is not out yet. But let me tell you, it was the deepest conversation on this subject you'll ever hear. Because we're two old OGs. Original gangsters of the live streaming business, and we know about this kind of stuff, and it sucks that it's that way now, because we knew a different world in which you didn't have to be a puppet of some stable of some pimp. New Bai says, lol, Tim was never a good guy. No, he wasn't. So let's talk about it. But before I get into the Lauren Chan subject, Dr. Disrespect. And here I think this illustrates how much vision I can have about these false allegations. I see them coming from so far. And there was a time about 2.5 months ago where people were canceling Dr. Disrespect. And you know, I'm not for pedophilia. And so, yeah, if you can prove that someone has committed pedophilia, I will hate on them. But I was like, you guys haven't proven anything. You are... And even Dr. Disrespect was publishing an apology, and I was scratching my head. I was like, why is he apologizing? You are apologizing for something that wasn't wrong and that wasn't criminal. It may have been wrong to your wife to be chatting with some other girl, but there's not even evidence that there was sex talk. So basically, you've chatted with another woman. That's all we know. And oh, that other woman was 17. And oh, he has a wife. Well, okay, it's immoral and it's unethical. It's a breach of promise to your wife, but that's not pedophilia. And yet, this guy lost his Twitch channel for this. And I was like, totally bad strategy to be apologizing and kneeling. And so here I've set up what Dr. Disrespect has said today. Today he's coming back on the internet. So you will see clips of how he defends himself today and how I defended him 2.5 months ago. It's I've basically seen through him, and I've seen through his letter of excuses, and I called him out that this letter of excuses made no sense. And here he is basically redoing my arguments that I've done 2.5 months ago.
The same people that made this decision admit internally that the messages did not constitute sexting.
So evidently, they were fantasizing about a potential meetup in which there would have been no violation of the law.
Twitch makes this decision to terminate my contract and ban me while admitted they did not perform any legal analysis of whether the messages exchanged were illegal in any way.
She would very well possibly have been 18 at the moment where the encounter would have happened.
The same people that made this decision at Twitch admit internally that the messages did not warrant any child sexual abuse material charge.
I cannot take a bunch of irrational mob people coming to me and saying, he's a pedo, he's a pedo. And my response to this will not be, oh, well, he's not a pedo technically, but he did something wrong. No, 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 no. Because if you come at me with a criminal accusation, I must find if you're crazy first. And the problem is that the mob going after Dr. Disrespect right now is a fucking insane mob. Because I know, because they went after me for a 19-year-old. So I know they don't care. They don't care about the age of consent.
Twitch makes this decision to terminate my contract and ban me while admitting that they never investigated the age of consent in the jurisdiction where the user's messages were sent and received.
If the meetup was to be in Europe, there would have been no violation of the law if he had inseminated her just straight up, just come inside of her. That is for sure. If he had met her in the U.S., in most states, he could have come inside of her and it wouldn't be a crime. And this is the great sin of Dr. Disrespect. He disrespected the game. The game is there's an age of consent. And if you're in that place, it's this age. If you're in this other place, it's this age. You shouldn't be apologizing if you are within those boundaries.
Twitch makes this decision to terminate my contract and ban me without ever interviewing me, the user, or any other third party, including the partner manager.
So you get the idea. I was the only person defending Dr. Disrespect then. And now he is joining in the club. Joining in the club to self-defend. It's very bizarre after an apology to come back roaring so strong. But I'm happy. I'm happy. But there is a problem in a public space that can all veer toward you on baseless accusations. Western Kind sends a super chat. He says, "Pesos for Papa JF have arrived. To hell with the anti-whites. No white guilt." I agree with this statement. Now, the whole Lauren Chen affair, and yesterday I can give you a summary of what we've spoken about on Richard Spencer. I wanted to bring a couple of points. First, there's the question with Russian interference. Is there a First Amendment right to willfully listen to Russian propaganda? If you're an intellectual, you're supposed to be able to read books. You can learn from other books. You can learn from whatever book you want to read. Some of these books may happen to be Russian. Some of these thinkers may happen to be Russian. Some of these authors may happen to have been funded by the Russian state. At which point is that a crime to be listening to a Russian? Imagine the whole continuum between you're Lauren Chen listening to this random guy in chat, in anonymous chat, like hidden communication or whatever, and he's paying you $100,000 per video you produced, to me reading a book by Alexander Dugin. Have I been Russian influenced? Has Lauren Chen been Russian influenced? So it's really bizarre, this prosecution. And I want to say, in my view, I think that some things were not fully ethical in the practice. Because from my perspective as a journalist, if I was paid by someone who has any sort of content contribution, I would disclose it. That's why people are saying, no, Jeff, you wouldn't. You would keep it secret. No, no. It happened in my life, and I disclosed it. You know, because I'm not a cuck. So when Jeff Epstein sent me $25,000, and I knew exactly how it would roll, I knew exactly that you would eventually get hit pieces about me, that you'd get haters on Twitter saying, oh, Jeff is receiving money from Epstein. And because I'm not a cuck, I said it. I said it just the moment I received it. I says, going forward, my show is funded by Jeff Epstein. And that was Neuro TV back then. All this to say, you have to take the hit, you know. And Lauren Chen should have set this up in a way where there is something said to the audience. And I believe it's not a standard in journalism, but I think it should be a standard to disclose conflicts of interest and disclose funding sources. Because to me, it's a matter of ingredients. It would be radically simple to ignore certain shows if you knew, okay, this show is paid by Bibi Netanyahu propaganda outlet number 17. I'm not going to watch it. And this is some other Jewish billionaire in the U.S. funding his own show. I'm not going to watch it. If we had some labeling in the same way, if you're allergic to an ingredient, you won't buy bread that contains this ingredient, let's say gluten. And so you want gluten-free bread, you might want Jewish-free news. Lendald Guntram says, maybe you succumb to racism by listening to Russian sources. Would that not be a total catastrophe? Big Daddy must take care of those running the risk of drifting astray. So, in the sense that we're talking about ethically, I'm not super comfortable with Lauren Chen having been influenced by Russia. But is that a crime? I don't think so. Should that be a crime? I don't think so. Should that be even a reason to lose her job? I don't think so. But things being what they are, we are in a very sad moment. This is why it's the black pill face on the thumbnail. It's because we are at a point where even right-wing media like Blaze TV is firing Lauren Chen. Firing Lauren Chen for being in association with this whole Russian news story. But what is this whole Russian news story? It is ultimately a fantasy of the left. So it is a pursuit of the left to be calling right-wingers in America influenced by Russia. In fact, it was a fantasy before it became truth. So they paranoid about this for years and falsely accused people for years, including Trump, of being Russian agents. And what I fear here is that what's been happening to Lauren is she's been pulled as a weak element of the chain of right wing. And when I see who is recuperating this news, like, this should be a leftist news, really. It's leftists that are obsessed with Russia, Russia, Russia. It should be the leftists clapping, oh yeah, we got rid of Lauren Chen, and that might make sense. But look at who's celebrating. Nikki Haley calls out Lauren Chen after Tenet Russian funding scandal. Karma is a bitch, the Lauren Chen. And she was quoting a past tweet of Lauren Chen that had said, Nikki Haley should move to Ukraine and run for its presidency then. Spare us the America last neocon talking points. Fascinating. Because it gives a whole opportunity for these neocons, these pro-Ukraine people, to now be saying, look, all of my critiques were invalid. I can now all dismiss them. They were just Putin's stooges. And the fact is that, wait a minute, at best, one person has been identified, one to four people, depending on if you include all of the creators, Ruben, Benny Johnson, Tim Pool, and Lauren Chen. So that's four people. It's not the far right. And the DOJ is stating themselves that the American creators involved in this whole scheme were not aware of the Russian origin of the money, because the intermediaries that were making the payments had invented fictitious names and identities, including a story that they were Belgium bankers or something. So they are super quick at decredibilizing the whole of the right wing and the whole of the anti-war movement, when in fact, Tim Pool doesn't strike me as a major piece of the anti-war system. Dave Rubin is Jewish. Lauren Chen, I don't know what's her position. I've never heard of her as being a figurehead in the anti-war movement or the far right. I think she's kind of on middle grounds very often between the mainstream Blaze TV and the far right. So I don't think they have particular legitimacy to be even representative of the thinking that has went on in the right since the last few years. Yet, the way this news is designed seems like it was tailor-made for splashing over a nebulous web of guilt by association. Look at this. FBI report says over 2,800 other influencers are being paid by Russia. A list of more than 2,800 people on various social media platforms like Twitter, Facebook, and Telegram, spanning 81 countries, that SDA identified as influencers, including television and radio hosts, politicians, bloggers, journalists, businessmen, professors, think tank analysts, veterans, professors, and comedians. So basically, they are trying to cast the net as large as they can. And this makes me think, is it possible that this was using Lauren Chen as the weak link, but ultimately with the intent of painting a broad stroke over all of the right? And the reason I use the black pill individual on the thumbnail is that I don't even know if I should be frustrated that the left is going with this. Because in the end, I want Trump to fail this election. Because Trump has cocked too hard. And so I'm like, I'm seeing a dishonest anti-Russia thing here where I'm not even sure. You know, no matter how proven the American side of the allegations are, I'm still in doubt whether we're talking truly about a deeply Russian operation. You have two Russian individuals that have been identified. That's all we know. That's all that ties this to Russia in any way. And sometimes you can have two individuals, and sometimes they may even be in Moscow. But they may act with other interests than the truly aligned, those that are truly aligned with the Russian state. And they may not be direct stooges of Vladimir Putin. They may have gone rogue. They may have addressed, they may have been bought out by other spies from other countries. Like, imagine you've been given loose money by the Russian state to do some loose stuff, just like they do with the CIA, with the US. Now, imagine that someone comes to you and says, I'm going to give you even more money. If you can just make it look like the Russian state was funding Lauren Chen and Tim Pool. This is the hypothesis that I've laid out yesterday on Richard Spencer's show. Are we here in a setup? All of it smells very much setup. Are we in a setup where someone, a third party with some degree of interest into fomenting, steering shit into the election of 2024, decided, you know what, in 2020 we couldn't really prove that Trump was a Russian agent. How about I set up a whole psyop, a whole operation to make it look like Tim Pool is a Russian agent? And to an extent, he succeeded as much as you can, basically. I mean, the next step, the next bigger step than this would be to have straight out recordings of Tim Pool talking in Russian and drinking vodka with Vladimir Putin. But other than this, the operation has been extremely successful. Whoever pulled this exposed dirt onto the right wing, dirt onto the Russian sympathetic commentary sphere, dirt, absolute dirt and career destruction of Lauren Chen, and some heavy amount of dirt thrown the way of Tim Pool, Benny Johnson, and Dave Rubin. Whoever has pulled this is an artist. And bravo, bravo, good sir. Beautiful art. I can appreciate the art of PSYOP, even if based in lies and just seeding distrust. But I can appreciate it. And when you look back at Tim Pool delivery during the last few years, people are successfully clipping out these things, and you're like, oh, was this the $1 million speaking into the ear of Tim Pool?
Ukraine is the enemy of this country. Ukraine is our enemy. Russia sucks. I'm not a fan of Russia. I think Vladimir Putin is a dictator who's used unethical and dictatorial means to maintain power for decades.
So this is kind of cheap attacks, because who knows? Maybe Tim Pool was honest, and maybe none of the money ever influenced his commentary. But it doesn't change that we shouldn't know. We should know more about how the media industry works and how the public heads that we hear and that are educating us in a way and inserting information in our heads, we should know more about how they work. And then on the Richard Spencer show, I explored the husband question. That is a big one also. The company that was set up by Lauren Chen was with her husband. Liam Donovan. And there is a big question here, because in a couple that commits crimes together, there's the question of who knows most about the crime, whose ID was it? Whose ID was it? Because at some point, someone comes to with $10 million your way. You have to say yes. There's no way you can say no to $10 million. Was it Liam Donovan pressuring Lauren? Because Lauren has posed publicly as a submissive wife, kind of. You know, a wife in the Christian tradition, and who was willing to follow her leading male. So is it possible that he made the call on this not so ethical decision of accepting money that way? I don't know. I mean, all of this could easily be preempted. If Lauren Chen just came out and said, we are being paid by a Tennessee company, and that's who's funding us, and publicly declare it. And if you publicly declare it, now, why did she not do this? Probably because she felt that there was something shady in the whole chain of payment. And so if she felt that there was something shady, it's kind of mens rea of criminal mind, kind of the mens rea of a guilty mind. So I'm blackpilled, because I don't know what to think about all this. I feel betrayed a little bit by Lauren Chen, but I don't think it's super grave what she's done. I think there would have been slightly better ethical ways of making it happen. When I got money from Jeff Epstein, I just said it publicly. I put it in the generic of all my shows, funded by the Jeff Epstein Foundation. So that way, you know, it's like you can come to me and you can yap for 20 years if you want. Oh, JF has received money. Yeah. I take money from Jews. Are you able to do that? Because there's not many white people who are capable to do that. To really go into a Jew's bank account, just withdraw the money and put it in your pocket. I don't know many white people who know how to do this, and I know. And I wanted to show that I was skilled at it. And I knew what were the consequences. The consequences were that people would always, forever, think that they got something on me because of this. But I still did it. Roddy Lucid says, Lauren Chen, Hapa, Chinese, Tim Pool, Hapa, Korean. It's the Asian connection putting the blame on the Russians. Yes, I think that in this whole story, what I'm not set about at all is the extent to which this is a Russian issue. Because we're talking about a very specific segment of the commentary sphere that has been targeted here. I'm not convinced of the Russian-ness of this all. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying I will need more facts to be convinced that it's a Russian operation. And don't just tell me that they were in Russia. Two people can be in Russia, but they can be working for other powers. And I see a lack of curiosity in that direction, and that is alarming. And this has been, by the way, dropped all during the election period, evidently because it's a scalp. It's a scalp for the bureaucratic Justice Administration to say, oh, we got the Russians. We got the Russians that were about to brainwash people during the election. We did it. We protected, we fortified the election. That's what's happening here. So you get an attorney general that wants to show up something, and that goes for this big affair, which is illegal only by the standard that commerce is not allowed with Russia because sanctions. And also they should report, because they are a foreign agent, they should have reported to FARA that they were a foreign influencing agent. Ty Rogerson says they've been lying about Russia ever since Walter Duranty went on his junket. I don't know who that is. I would have to research. Nick Fuentes has launched planetary insemination, the mission that is not the game. Of course, I want to launch the planetary insemination game. But Nick Fuentes has declared it is time to engage in reproductive sex.
It's time to fuck. Okay, that's drug. It's time to fuck. Okay, that's drug.
And so now the gropers are like, is the incel era really over for us? You know how they, whenever they present Nick Fuentes, they're like, the white nationalist, anti-Semite, incel, extremist, Nick Fuentes. Well, we may be entering slowly we may be entering the era of Nick's life where he is managing, trying to balance work and family life, trying to inseminate a woman and keep a show up, because Nick Fuentes has realized things are so blackpilling in the political sphere, it's time for him to go full insemination. Well, I'm super happy about this. I think Nick Fuentes should reproduce. I would highly recommend a Baptist woman, because Catholic woman, Nick, I've been trying all sorts of women in my life. I can give you great statistical feedback by experience that I've gathered myself at very high cost. The problem with Catholic women, there's various degrees of dedication to the faith. So you can grab a woman who's basically like a Baptist. But if you go for the Baptist, they will be radical to begin with. So go for it. Oh, I have my clock has been ringing. Somehow, I don't know why my clock was set up for 7:55. Great replacement, Job Shock. 1.3 million native-born Americans just lost their jobs, replaced by 635,000 immigrants. Well, yeah, it's the constant replacement that we are faced with. And why do we do this? If there's no one available to work for a job, just don't have anyone. It's not like we need everything we produce. We don't need that much luxury, that much waste, that much fast food. So if you don't find the employees, instead of replacing your old nation by basically a slave class of minimal salary worker, just accept that you won't produce as much. Accept that perhaps there will be less burgers available for everyone and less stuff. What else do we have before we close the show? U.S. warns that Israel, that carriers can't stay indefinitely. So apparently here the U.S. warning Israel that they won't be around for long. But I don't know. I think if Trump comes in, we might be involved directly with Israel and Iran for years, for the whole administration of Trump. That is it for tonight. What did I want to tell you guys? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I wanted to say thank you so much for white. He has sent a massive super chat during the night. Perhaps he couldn't make it to the live, but thank you so much for the support. He has been holding the show on his shoulders with his big donation. Thank you very much. And if you'd like to support the show yourself, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. You can donate monthly and keep us afloat. As soon as Richard Spencer publishes the interview of yesterday on his Substack, I think you should go watch it, because it was a very good review. We went very deep into Tenet. First, why is it even that Tim Pool chose the word Tenet? Tenet Media. And why is it that the movie Tenet is good? And what about the Satyr Square? And what about palindromic references? We want extremely deep, extremely deep. And so you should go watch it if you want to know the full story of Lauren Chan and the Russians. That is it for tonight. Rudy Lacid says, what if white is Russian? I would be in trouble. Thank you.